Well, last week we had a message on God and our money, and we were reminded of God's blessing in store for us if we use our money in the proper way. And one of the proper ways that God advised us was to give him his portion. We talked about how God owns everything, and he allows us to have a certain portion that he's blessed us with. And one thing that he asks is that we return to him his portion. And in the Old Testament, he talked about a tenth of what the people earned was to be given back to God. And if that is done, tremendous blessings come the way of the giver. So we were reminded of that last week, and we're going to carry on a step further, because the Bible talks a lot about our finances and how to handle wealth. You know that the Bible talks more about our finances than it does about heaven or hell. The Bible is replete with wisdom and advice and God's commands about how we're to handle our finances. We talked last week about how we're living in troublesome financial times. We talked about how many people are living paycheck to paycheck, which means that once they get paid, after they pay all their bills, there's no money left. And they're waiting for the next paycheck already. And sometimes they're already spending money that they don't have through credit. And we talked about how people are having their cars repossessed these days. And one article I read said more people would be having their cars repossessed, but there's not enough repossessors to do the repossessing. There's not enough companies available now to repossess all the cars that are long overdue in payments. People are losing their houses because they can't pay the mortgage. And the same conditions like this that affect society around us also affects Christians. So we, as God's people, need to be mindful as to how we handle the money that God has blessed us with, because he gives us a lot of instruction in the Bible as to how to do that. I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 27 and in verse 23. Proverbs 27, verse 23, Solomon says here, "Be sure to know the condition of your flocks." Now, we're not shepherds here, but he's talking about our possessions, what God has blessed us with, our finances. He says, "Give careful attention to your herds, for riches do not endure forever, and a crown is not secure for all generations." In other words, and Solomon was a very wise man, he said, pay attention to what you earn, pay attention to what you spend, and what you save. Be good stewards of what God has blessed you with. Now, how do we go about doing that? Well, let's put together a few points here that God specifies in the Bible about handling our finances. And for those of us who have financial problems, hopefully this will be a help to get us on the right track to overcome some of those financial problems. And those of us who feel we may not have financial problems, who knows what the future holds? So we need to be careful. The first point that I'd like to talk about, which is biblical, God teaches us that we should have a budget for our money. To be aware of our income and our outgo, we need to, with wisdom, budget our finances. A budget is where you are aware of your monthly income and you're aware of all your monthly outgo. Now, a budget is being purposeful about your money. A budget is telling your money where to go instead of wondering where it went. And a lot of people have that problem today, wondering where their money went, why they don't have anything left for important things. It's being intentional with your money. And God wants us to do that. And you know, today there are a lot of free, helpful hints and things that you can download off the computer to help you set up a budget of your own. I brought one along today. how to set up your quick start budget. And if you want to take a look at it later, it's got the website in here you can go to, but a lot of this stuff is free to help you to organize your money, being intentional with your money. In Luke chapter 14 and in verse 28, Luke 14 and in verse 28, Jesus, this is Jesus himself saying this, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not sit down and estimate the cost to see if he or she has enough money to complete it? For if he lays the foundation and is not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule him, saying, this fellow began to build and was not able to finish. So in other words, count the cost. We need to count the cost about everything that we do financially. With any purchase, consider whether you can afford it and whether it fits into your budget. And you know, in your budget, when you write down your income and when you write down your outgo, it should not come to a negative number. It should come to either zero or a positive number. And that means you've got extra money that you can save or that you can invest. So count the cost in everything that you do. Be aware of your finances. Unfortunately, in our society today, because of the easy availability of credit, people feel that they can spend and spend and spend without any accountability for it. And maybe when the time comes for them to die, all their bills will miraculously disappear somehow. But God tells us to be responsible and to use wisdom in handling our finances. In Luke, let's turn rather to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Did you know that God will hold us accountable as to how we handle the things that he's given us? This certainly is what is taught in the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, beginning in verse 14. Jesus says, again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his property to them. So remember what we said, God owns everything, and he has entrusted to us a certain amount of what he owns. To one he gave 5 talents of money, to another 2 talents, and to another 1 talent, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. So you can kind of picture this as Jesus ascending back up into heaven, knowing that he's going to return someday. The man who had received the 5 talents went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 more. So also the one with the 2 talents gained 2 more. But the man who had received the 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. So this could be taken in different ways. It can refer to the talents that God has given you, certain abilities and things that you have a special gift at. But it can also refer to money as well and how you handle what God has blessed you with. Verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received the 5 talents brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 talents. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. So we think of when Jesus returns and the kingdom of God established in all of its fullness, the responsibilities that God will give us at that time. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with the 2 talents also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received the 1 talent came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. So it was the master's intention that those talents be used, multiplied, whatever the case may be, to bring a profit His master replied, "You wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well, then you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, it would have received it back with interest." So this man did not use wisdom in taking care of what God had blessed him with. Now, verse 28, "Take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Wow, that's a pretty severe punishment for this man, because he didn't handle properly what God had given him to handle and to manage. So notice the master did not give this poor man more money, the one who mismanaged, but he took what he had and gave it to the better managers. Now that might seem unfair in this day and age of, you know, fairness for everybody, but that's just showing the way God is and what his intentions are for us. Manage what he has given you. Use biblical wisdom in handling these things. This is kind of a test for us, how we handle what God has blessed us with. And it has a bearing on our eternal future with him in God's kingdom. Again, in Luke 16, verse 10, Jesus again speaking, saying, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Talking about the riches of God's kingdom and our eternal life with him. And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, God's property, who will give you property of your own? So that's a pretty strong warning from God as to how we should take seriously the managing of our finances and whatever else God has blessed us with. Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. It's a test for us, isn't it? And God watches, and God observes how we handle our money. So have a budget. Work with that budget. You know, a budget can be adjusted as time goes by. You know, if you make a budget and have your income, all of your income listed here, and then you subtract all of your outgo, if you end up with a negative number, you know some changes have to be made to your budget. Your income is pretty much stable, but it's your outgo that's the problem. So you got to list the necessary things. You list your rent, you list your mortgage payment, you list your utilities, you list this, you list that, all of the necessary things. And, you know, if you subtract from your income and have a positive number, well, maybe you can use some money to do some other things. But if you've got a negative number, you're going to have to cut your expenses somehow. And, you know, there are ways to do that. I know recently, you know, we looked into our insurance, car insurance, house insurance. And we had for many, many years had one particular company and just kind of took it for granted that they were giving us a good rate. And one day, you know, I just got in the mood to do some searching and investigating. And we found, you know, for the same coverage, a much cheaper rate from a different company. And it's actually saving us $1,000 a year, believe it or not. So as you manage your finances and look at your investments and things like that, you got to do some investigation. You know, there are some companies that are going to take advantage of you. Amen. You know, for some people, it may get to the point that they realize they're living in too expensive a place. And the payments that they're making are, you know, beyond necessary. Or maybe they have a car that's costing them too much. We talked last time about the average new car payment today, and it's now over $700 a month. And maybe you don't need to drive that fine a car. Maybe you can get by with cheaper transportation. And maybe for some people, they don't need to be driving a car at all. They could be using the bus or you know, if that's possible. So sticking to the budget is a challenge. I was talking to Ron Crumbaker a couple weeks ago and talking about how when my wife and I were first married, you know, we had a budget for food. And I still remember to this day going to the supermarket with a calculator. And I remember exactly the amount. We were budgeted at $50 a week for food. And that was back in the late 70s, you know, when we were first married. And it was tough sometimes, fitting the food that we thought we needed, you know, the milk, the bread, so on and so forth, putting things into the shopping cart, and sometimes having to take things out of the shopping cart, because as we added up the total, as we were going along through the store, we found that we couldn't afford certain things that we really wanted to have. And we just had to stick with the necessities. And you know what? Finances brings stress to marriages. It really does. Because one has an idea things should be done this way, the mate has an idea things should be done this way, and it takes patience, it takes stick-to-itiveness to stick to the budget and to make it work. And I remember at times you gotta avoid impulse buying if you're gonna stick to your budget. Impulse buying. What is that? That's buying things that it just, you know, you see it, and like the Bible says, you know, the lust of the eyes, and it, you know, it just draws you to it, and you think, oh, we need this, or that looks delicious, we just have to have that. And somebody has to say, no, it's not in the budget, we can't afford that. Maybe sometime in the future, people have that problem when it comes to cars, when it comes to appliances. They see things and they think, oh, this would be great. I can just picture myself driving that car, or I can just picture myself wearing that outfit. But it doesn't really fit into the budget, you see. And it's going to cause you problems, and you're going into debt. So avoid impulse buying and judge whether any purchase is true to your budget. That scripture, by the way, is 1 John 2. In verse 16, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. So, isn't one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit self-control? Self-control. And we all need to have self-control to manage our finances properly in a way that brings blessings from God. So it's a test here. We're being tested as to how we can handle these things here on earth. And if we handle them properly, God is going to give us manifold responsibilities and talents in the future. In his kingdom. So you got to manage your finances, you got to get things under control, you got to know what's coming in, what's going out. And, you know, in some cases with people, if there's no other way to increase what's coming in, sometimes you need to look for maybe a second job or a better job, or cut back on your expenses as much as possible and live within your means. That's point number one, and that's biblical. Point number two, I think, is very good advice, and that is to get out of debt. Get out of debt. We've all gone through periods of time in our lives where we've been in debt. And debt is not a sin, okay? It's not mentioned in the Bible as a sin, but there's not a whole lot of good that comes from debt. Certainly, debt is not a blessing to anybody. In Proverbs 22, verse 7, it's a sobering scripture here, but it kind of explains what debt is all about. Proverbs 22 and verse 7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is servant to the lender." The borrower, or the person who goes into debt for whatever reason, becomes a servant to the lender. Now, we remember when Israel was in Egypt, the Israelites were slaves. They were in slavery. They were owned and controlled by the Egyptians. And that was not a very good life. It was a very difficult life. And in a sense, when we go into debt, we become slaves to the lender. It's very easy to go into debt in this day and age. In fact, we often get offers and credit cards in the mail where credit companies say, "Well, we hear you're a good credit risk. Here, try our card. And you know, we'll give you this bonus on it, and we'll guarantee this rate, you know, for a particular period of time." But eventually the rate for borrowing goes very high. And you know what? Most credit cards today go for a interest rate of 21 to 22%. Can you believe that? That's a lot of increase in what you end up paying when you borrow. It's easy to borrow, but it's very difficult to repay. And whenever we go into debt, we become a servant to the lender. Like I said, the Bible doesn't say that debt is a sin, but the Bible doesn't ever say that God uses debt to bless his people. The Bible doesn't say anything positive about debt. Once you enter into debt, you lose your freedom. Amen. Because you're in debt to the person or to the company that you owe money to. And lenders see to it that you're going to repay. I told you the story last week about how, you know, I was awakened on Saturday morning by a big truck coming down our street and parking right in front of our house, one of those big automobile carriers. And there was a repo guy, you know, pulling up one of my neighbor's vehicles into his truck and hauling it away. That person was in debt to the bank that he borrowed the money from to buy the car, and he wasn't keeping up with his payments, and the bank was going to get their car back. And the person still owed money. You know, even if the bank comes to take your car away, you still are in debt to the bank for the remainder. You know, they're going to take your car to the auction and auction it off and get as much as they can for it. And whatever is lacking for what they can get out of your car, you're still going to pay the remainder. And, you know, for people to get the car that they want, normally, well, I remember years ago when I was young, it was normal that you paid off your car in 3 years, 36 months. Then it got up to 5 years, 60 months. But then in more recent times, it became 72 months or even 84 months, you're still paying on this car. So you're in debt. That's a burden for a long time. And you might come to the point where you get sick of your car and would like to have a new one. Well, unfortunately, you still owe a lot of money on that car. And what people are doing now is they're buying a new car and rolling over the debt for what they owed on their first car. And, you know, the dealer or the bank is very happily rolling over that amount into your new car loan, which means that you're going to be paying for this new car even longer. And what a burden that is, and it's crushing people. And God wants us to be relieved of that. And, you know, by getting out of debt and getting out of all that interest payments that, you know, you're paying more than the item originally was worth. That's what debt does to you. Aside from putting stress on you, keeping you awake at night wondering how you're ever going to pay these bills back, being stressed in your marriage and causing marriages to break up because these people are under such a burden financially. This is what the Bible tells us in Romans 13 in verse 8. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 13, verse 8, let no debt remain outstanding. So people think it's customary today to just roll up the debts. And you got debts, you owe money here, you owe money there, and that's what their life is. But we're told, I think in the King James it says, owe no man anything. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. So I think what Paul is saying here is get yourself out of debt. And while we're talking about debt, don't forget your debt to love your fellow man. Because we all have an ongoing debt to do that. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. So I think biblical wisdom and God's advice to us is to work at paying off all your debts. Some debts are relatively small and can be paid off, you know, over a short period of time. Some people are so deeply in debt when it comes to things like college debt and mortgage and so on and so forth, credit cards, doctor bills, but the scripture says that it should be our goal and we should be working at it to get out of debt. Pay off all your debts. When you enter into a debt, you enslave yourself to a cruel master who has no mercy or forgiveness. Why do you think they call it MasterCard? You owe debt to your master, the MasterCard. And of course, there's all other kinds of credit cards available. It's very easy to get credit, very easy. It's very difficult to pay it off. You need to decide not to borrow anymore. You know, there are people who, in order to do this, have cut up their credit cards. It might be good to have a credit card just for emergency purposes, but not just for buying ordinary things. A lot of people today are going to the grocery store and buying weekly and monthly groceries and putting it all on credit cards because they can't afford any other way to feed the family. And our nation's economy is in bad shape. Inflation continues to, you know, eat away at our money and you know, the things that we would like to buy. It takes away our buying power. You know, we pay so much in taxes. I read an article the other day saying by 2033, I think it is, the Social Security Fund is going to be bankrupt. And they foresee cutting people's Social Security payments by a quarter, by 25%. So keeping that in mind, the future doesn't look rosy. It looks worse than it is now. And we need to start to take steps as Christians to organize what God has blessed us with. And if we've gotten ourselves into trouble with regard to debt or other things, we need to work at getting our way out of it. We're enticed to live beyond our means. You know, when we watch TV, there's a TV show that we watch occasionally, QVC, or the Home Shopping Network. And you know, they're always selling stuff, whether it's food or clothing, and they make it so enticing. You know, when they sell food, sometimes they sell meat products, steak or chicken or goodies like cakes and things like that, and they always bring up real close up to the item and showing you how moist it is and how delectable it is, and then they kind of take a piece and they break it in half to show you how good it's going to taste and how you want to order this food and enjoy it yourself. Society has a way of enticing us to buy stuff. And you know, some of these specialists with regard to advertising and selling like this are trained experts at it, and they really know how to get to us. And whatever commercial you're watching, it just portrays everything in such an enticing way. If it's a car, you can just kind of picture yourself driving that car and being the envy of the neighborhood. And how you need to, as we used to say, keep up with the Joneses. And, you know, if your neighbors have good things, you want to have good things too. You don't want to be left behind. But like I said, one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control. Self-control. Live within your means. Know what your means are. And don't fool yourself. And you think, how is it possible, Pastor? You know, we've gotten ourselves into such debt. How can we ever repay that? Well, it seems I remember a scripture in Philippians that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is it going to be easy? Probably not. But with God's help, it can be done. It can take years. There was one particular time in our marriage when we had to go into debt. In 1995, we all remember, most of us that were here, when the changes took place, okay? And when God brought us from basically an old covenant outlook into a new covenant grace. And looking back, thank God that He did that for us. That was a miracle in our church, in our denomination, and for all of us. And I don't know about you, but I never want to go back to the way things were in the olden days of the old Worldwide Church of God. I like being in relationship with Jesus Christ and having the confidence in Him and knowing that I'm saved, not by my works, but by His grace and His death on the cross. But because of those changes that happened in our denomination, we lost approximately 50% of our membership who wanted to stay with the old ways, and 50% of our income. And cuts had to be made. And big cuts happened with regard to the ministry. You know, we used to have a fleet car program where all the ministers who put on so much mileage every year, the church office would purchase the cars, and then we would have use of them until they reached a certain mileage. Then we would have to give them back to the church office, and they would sell them at auction or whatever the case may be. And along with that went a nice gas card that we all had. And we could use that gas card for gasoline for the car. And insurance was included in that, which was all paid by the main church office. But, you know, when the changes came, all of those expenditures came on the ministry, which we weren't expecting or prepared for. And it became a burden for us. And you might think, well, you know, big deal. We all have to pay for our own car and our own gas and our own insurance. Well, that was a blessing that we had enjoyed as pastors for many years, but it came to an end. And other cuts were made as well. And all of a sudden, my wife and I found ourselves in a situation where, okay, we're going to have to buy a car now and start making all these other payments and so on. And payroll cuts took place as well, too, because the income of the church had dropped so drastically. And we found ourselves going into debt. And I'll never forget the time that we realized, we sat down, as I'm preaching here right now, and realized our income versus our outgo, and we had dropped to the point that we were $16,000 in debt. And we went to credit counselors and got advice, and it's a lot of the same advice that I'm talking about today from the Bible, where you have to determine that you want to get yourself out of this situation. That's where it starts. If you're just playing fairy tale and make-believe, it's not going to go away. It's very real. And instead of living in debt all your life and living with all of the stress that that brings and losing your car and losing your house if it comes to that point, you have to be focused and decisive with it. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to require cuts. It's going to require a different lifestyle. But, you know, I remember the words of Paul when he said, he talked about contentment. And he says, you know, I've lived different ways. I've lived, you know, having everything I needed, and I've lived in want. And I realized that I just have to be satisfied with where I am in life and what I can afford, and just adjust my outlook and adjust my lifestyle accordingly. And, you know, that's what you have to do. And it took us several years to get out of debt, but we did it. We finally did it. So we all have to learn lessons. Sometimes we lose control and we end up getting into debt, and it's a tough journey and it's uphill to get yourself out of it. But we represent God, and I think our lifestyles should be such that pleases Him. And we can focus on Him without focusing on so many other things, like how in debt we are and how much we owe, and they're coming to get our car and to repossess it and all this sort of stuff. So we have to be decisive about it. We have to decide, this is what I want to do. And, you know, in marriages, you got to work together as a team. You got to both come to the same conclusion, you know, combined. And you got to work together as a team. So many marriages today, I mean, I've counseled young people who they've decided in advance that, well, the wife says, my money is going to be my money. I got my job. And the husband says, well, my money is going to be my money. You know, I'm going to spend what I earn on myself. And I think to myself, that's not the way for a marriage to work. You got to work together as a team. You got to be of one mind, okay? You got to put your minds together. You got to put your hearts together. And you got to work together as a team if you're going to be successful, especially with regard to finances like this. And so many marriages break up because of finances. You can't be selfish and self-seeking. And you know what? God will bless you. God will bless you. So these are just the first two points. I got three more that we'll talk about next week. But let's manage our finances in a godly way. God gives us plenty of advice and wisdom in the Bible. And it's so easy to fall into the trap that the world has fallen into, and we see them suffering and struggling when it comes to money issues. But by using God's wisdom, and don't forget, with Christ, all things are possible. So let's seek God's help. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know all of our situations here in this room. You know where our finances stand. And we've got people here who have managed their finances over the years and have been blessed by you, and others yet are struggling. So, Father, help us. It's so difficult. There are so many negative pulls in this world, and it just seems that this society wants us to struggle, to get ourselves in debt, and to just disrupt our lives because we're seeking things of the flesh. Seeking things that we desire, but you call us to live a modest lifestyle. It's not a sin to be rich, but it's a struggle to be rich and to still focus on you, God. So whatever our particular situation is, we just pray that we have the right focus in our life, which is you, and in the meantime, to handle all of these things in a godly way. You certainly give us enough advice, so give us the wisdom and the means to do what we need to do. And bless each of our marriages that we can work together in a unified way to face any problems that we have, and through the power of the Holy Spirit to solve them. So you give us the wherewithal to do that, and we thank you for it. So Father, thanks for the instruction, and help us to take it to heart. And we pray your blessing now. We pray it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.